Welcome
to each of you. I tell you, I've really been blessed already. That song that we heard that Jesse had us listen to. Yeah, it just about got me choked up, you know, because Jesus is all we need, that's for sure. But we never know that, generally. I don't, until I come to the place where He's all I have. That's powerful. Okay. Our Sunday school lesson was in Hebrews. That's where we've been. I think we're going to be camped out there yet for a little while. And anyway, that's where I'm going to be. There's a couple of verses here in Hebrews 12. They're rich. They're very familiar. Hebrews 12, the first three verses. There's really just a phrase in there that I want to use, but I'm going to read all three verses anyway, just to kind of give us a little background, a little setting. And Hebrews 12, the first three verses, let's read it. He says, I'm in the NIV as well. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I love that. I love the King James. He talks about, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here he says, perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and a perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. I love this. He says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. But that phrase I want is in verse 1, like I said, in the King James. Let's see. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I love that word, patience. I'm sure that's why the NIV, let's see, the New King James, it used the word endurance. And the NIV uses the word perseverance. So I think patience probably in the King James, it means a lot more than just patience. But I love that term because to me, at least as I understand patience, that means waiting, okay? Got to wait on God. And that's hard to do. It's hard to wait on anything. And I had to think of this too. Anyway, let me back up. When I studied it in the King James, you know, it was great. But last night I picked up the NIV. I said, you know, I just wonder what it says. And so I read it there and I said, yeah, you know, that's exactly where I want to go. And I love that. He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Designated specifically for you, the path you're on, and for me. And then down at the end of verse 3, he says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I guess, if nothing else, that's why I was drawn to these verses, simply because you see it everywhere. You see it among Christians especially, you know, where it's easy to get down because of the times we're living. When you look around, it's easy to get discouraged, and so many people have. And they've walked away from the church, turned their back, walked out the door. Many of them have not come back. And maybe God hasn't shown up for them like they thought and hoped. But when I read this in the NIV, it said, yeah, this is exactly where I need to go. This is where I want to go. This is what I'm thinking. Is don't be weary. Consider Christ. And what he did so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. You know, as we grow up in life, patience, and I'm going to camp out on this just a little bit because I like it, because patience is something that's so difficult for me to, for most of us, to deal with, to wait on God. You know, we pray for things, you know, for God's will to happen. We ask God for his will. Show us your will, Lord. Show us what you want us to do. And that means we have to wait. A lot of times we wait. But you know, coming up as a kid, when we grew up, waiting was always there's always something to look forward to. You know, when you're a kid around 10, maybe 9, 10, 11 years old, 12, you can't wait till you're a teenager, till you turn 13. This is great, you know. And then about that time, you want to drive. Well, when I was a kid, you had to be 15. No, not 15, sorry. You had to be 16 to drive. In Pennsylvania, 16, okay. Here, apparently, the kids are advanced. They're a little smarter than we were. So they get to drive at 15. But there's always something to look forward to. You always have to wait. Well, about the time you get there, you turn 15. Finally, you get your license, you can drive. And then you can't wait. Maybe you want to go to Bible school or on a short-term mission trip somewhere. So you pray about it. You look into it. You make the applications, whatever you have to do. And then you have to wait. And then about that time, hey, you know, you're at that age where you're thinking about a lifetime partner. Ooh, you know, who would God have me marry anyway, you know? That's important. If you haven't prayed, yeah, you young folks, people, if you haven't prayed about it, you probably should, okay? Anyway, you know, there's always, then there's a waiting period. You pray about it, then what? Wait. You know, and we're going to look at a few of those. There's a few examples. The Bible is full of people who prayed for things. And they waited for years and years. God didn't move. God didn't answer for a long time. But you know, we live in a culture where I like things to happen quick. You do too, you know. Anymore, the microwave is slow. The coffee pot's way too slow. You know, things were, yeah. But you know, God is not influenced. He's not moved. I don't think he cares. Well, maybe he does, but I don't think he's not pushed one way or the other because of what I like or don't like. I don't think so. It doesn't matter to him. His clock, his timepiece is way advanced to yours and mine, okay? He's not affected, I don't think, by just because I can't wait. I'm praying for something. Sure, he hears our prayers. I know he does. I'm convinced he does. But you know, he heard these prayers too. What about Abraham? You could mention him. Man, there's a bunch of them. Noah, Abraham. He heard Jonah's prayer too, after he finally got things straightened out. But, you know, God, so when I read this in the race of life, he says, don't give up. Just because I don't hear from God doesn't mean he's went anywhere. He didn't move. He didn't go anywhere. If anybody went anywhere, it was me. It wasn't him. It was us. It wasn't him. He doesn't move. He is the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. He'll be the same next year, forever. But I really, and I guess as you get older, you know, as a kid, it's as a young person, pretty hard to wait. And even for us older ones, it is. Depending what you're praying for, it gets difficult to wait. Well, Abraham was, what was he, 80 years old? Somewhere like that. And God promised him a son. He waited a long time, didn't he? Well, what did he do? I think his wife Sarah said, hey, you know, I've got a handmaid over here. Maybe we can help God out a little bit. Let's take a shortcut. You know, and when I got into this, I said, yeah, wow. I'm all about shortcuts, you know. Save a little time. Sometimes it works out, but you know, sometimes it doesn't. When it comes into spiritual things, when it comes into God, your relationship and mine with God, you know, a shortcut doesn't work. It didn't work for him. Didn't work for Abraham or Sarah. Didn't work for Jonah either. God told Jonah to go down and preach. He says, no, I'm not going that way. He went a different direction. That didn't pan out very good either. There's a lot of examples in Scripture where when we take a shortcut, when God tells us, instead of being obedient, instead of me listening to him, I think I know better. I think I'm smarter than God is. Wow. If that won't get us in big trouble. Cain is another one. You know, we'll get into these maybe. Noah is another one. But Noah was faithful. The Bible tells you there in Genesis 7, 8, 9, 10. He says that Noah was faithful. He did everything that God commanded him to do. What would have happened if Noah would have taken a shortcut? What if God told him how to build the ark and told him how to do it and what he has to do? How many years did it take him, you know? I know you know. The kids know that too, right? How many years did it take him, Carter? Okay, well, that's a good guess. But double that, okay? Right? Is that right? 120? Yeah, I think it's what it says. Okay, you know what? That's a long time. 120, people today, we don't live that old. We don't live to be that old, okay? I looked it up there in Genesis 2. It says that he lived 950 years. He lived another 300 and some years after the flood. 950 years, and he was building that ark for a whole 120 years when he had, I'm sure he did. You know, how did he do that? He was faithful, but he had people yapping in his ears. I'm sure he did. He said he was a preacher of righteousness. He obeyed God to the T. If he wouldn't have, what would have happened? If the ark would have sank? Could it have? The point is, he waited. It took him 120 years, but he built that ark and he was faithful. It floated. It did what God wanted it to do, and that's exactly what it did. Okay, he's a good example. Abraham, he's another one. God promised him a son. He waited 20 years. He prayed. I'm sure he did. And when God told him already at that point, Sarah, she was in the tent. Already at that time, they were way beyond the parenting age for sure. She laughed. The Bible says that Abraham did too. It says he laughed when God told him that. And I guess probably if we'd have been in his shoes, we would have too. But God proved his point, didn't he though? God came through. He had to wait 20 years, but God came through. God brought it to pass. So I don't care what it is that I'm praying for, that you're praying for. It doesn't matter. God hasn't went anywhere. He didn't change. He doesn't operate on my calendar or my clock. Thank God he doesn't. You know, as you get older, you understand there's a few things in life that come in our pathways that make us stop. It could be your health. For some of us, that's been the case. For some of you, it's been the case. Your health stops you in your tracks. God gets your attention. And your plans get put on hold. But that's okay. It still doesn't change who God is. He's still faithful. He's still just. He's still right. He's still good. Doesn't matter what I go through or what he lets me go through, he's still good. I love that about God. He doesn't change. People do, but God doesn't. And sometimes he'll put you flat on your back in a hospital, staring at the ceiling. Then you've got time to think, plenty of time. But that's okay too. God's still good. You think about things then that you don't think of any other time. But that's okay. That's good. That's what it's for. Thank you, God, for getting my attention. It's great. It's okay. Anyway, you know, and if you're a young person, you're praying, there's things you're looking to do, things you want to do, places you want to go. Maybe on a mission, job you're looking for, and you're praying about it, it just doesn't happen. The other thing is, God's timing is perfect. Don't forget that. I don't want to ever forget that. God's timing is perfect. Like I said, he doesn't operate on your clock or mine. You can go back to Jesus. We're going to get into that too if there's time. I got to hurry up. Back in Matthew, it says when Jesus was born, he said, it tells us there that at the fullness, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. At just the right time, he was born. Okay? And when you come to the end of Christ, the end of his life at the cross, in the garden, there was times when they wanted to get him, they wanted to capture him, they wanted to kill him. The Pharisees, the scribes, they wanted to do away with him. They had their chances. They couldn't. They had their chances, but you know they couldn't do it. They couldn't get him. You know why? The time wasn't right. It's just like it is for you and I. Things will happen in your life when it's the right time. God is all about time. He's a perfectionist. I had to think of this. I think Sally, maybe she, yeah. Are there any perfectionists here? Some of you, I know you are, right? Some of you are perfectionists. Got to be just right. Got to be on time. Hey, that's the way Sally was till she married me. She done got over that. I guess, forget that, right? Anyway, you know, God is a perfectionist. He's perfect. He doesn't miss by a second, okay? I love that thought because most of us aren't that way. Well, some of you are. Thank you. Some of you are on time. Great. I'm always late. Shame on me. But you know, God is never late, and he will never be late for you or for me. Never. I like that. God's timing is perfect. And like I said, when he was born, at just the right time, when he died, it was the perfect time. Not before, it wouldn't have been right. God is a perfectionist. His time is perfect. And I tell you, if I can get a hold of that, and if you can, if we can live that way and understand, it's you're praying and God doesn't come through. Where's God at? I don't hear from him. Think about this. When the time is right, you will hear from him. He didn't say no. Maybe he hadn't said yes. He hadn't said no. but wait, okay? Patience. Run with patience the race. Run with, but don't give up. Persevere. Endure. Hang on to God's hand. Just because I haven't heard from Him doesn't mean He's not there. Of course He's there. He hadn't gone anywhere and never will. God's timing. It's perfect. It's everything. And I think for the Christian, and I've had to, and some of the things I've went through and many of you have done the same. You've been through things much more difficult than I have. But in past years, being in business, you sometimes you come up against things that are, you don't know what to do. And maybe you make a wrong choice, a wrong decision. And it really hits you in the pocket, hits you in the wallet. But you know, I've seen God several times. I look back and I say, oh God, you know, they were difficult times that I went through. But looking back, I say, hey God, you were closer to me at that time than you've ever been. It's like it wasn't hard to pray. Because like that song said, you know, if all you have is Jesus, He comes down to it's all you need. He becomes a personal friend. It's not hard to pray. When you're going through the valley, you can't look anywhere but up. Hey, that's the best time. Those were the best times of my life. Now that I look back, it wasn't good then. But I look back now, I said, man, that was some growing time going on. God was real. He showed Himself. It was good. So, run with patience. Run with perseverance. Don't quit. God won't quit on you. He won't quit on me. He never has and He won't. So let's not quit on Him. Give God a chance. Give Him the time. He's the one that owns time. So let's let him have it. Give it to Him. Okay. You know, when it comes to Jesus, I've talked about people that take shortcuts. Cain did. He offered a sacrifice. God says no. Cain, I'll accept Cain's Abel's sacrifice, but Cain, no. Why was that? You could read it there in Genesis, what is that, about 8? I'm not sure, but anyway. And it's kind of interesting. He brought an offering from he was a farmer, so he brought crops, maybe produce, as an offering. Well, later on, at that point, I think the offerings had to be with blood. Well, Cain brought his produce. There's no blood in that. So maybe that was part of it. I don't know. But it almost, from reading and studying, you almost get the idea that Cain was a rebellious character. He only did it because he had to. So if he knew better, if he knew that it was supposed to be a blood sacrifice and he didn't do it, he said, I'm just going to take, I don't want to kill that goat, so I'm going to, that's too nice a goat, so I'm going to take my cabbage, cucumbers, whatever, tomatoes, and I'll offer that. If he knew better, if that was the case, he said, I'll take a shortcut, okay? I don't feel like killing that thing, so I'm going to do it this way. God says, I won't accept that. You know what? It's no wonder maybe God doesn't hear me. Maybe He doesn't answer me sometimes simply because I'm not obedient to Him in what I already know is right. I know what I should do, but Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You know what? If I'm not willing to operate in the light and live and walk in the light that I already have, why should God give me any more? Why should He answer my prayer when I'm not doing what I know I need to be doing now? I don't know. Human nature is what it is. Rebellious. Mine is. Maybe yours wasn't. Mine was. And you know, I'm all about shortcuts, like I said. If I could take a shortcut, I probably would. I have already. Yeah, it didn't work out well. Nah, don't do it. It didn't work for Cain either. God cursed him. That was the second. There was, what, three times in the scriptures, I think, where in the Old Testament, where God cursed three different times. He cursed the earth after Adam and Eve sinned. He cursed the earth. And here he cursed Cain. Or he said, cursed is your, whatever. And the third one was, I don't know. I can't remember now what it was. But there was three different times where God cursed the earth. Or whatever it was he cursed. Okay? So, you know, I'm going to leave that. I want to move on. I got to hurry up. I want to move on. Jesus, I want to get into this yet real quick, and then I'm done. Where Jesus was tempted. You know, you talk about Jesus was the Son of God, okay? So when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, we can get into that. You know, where Satan took him out into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days. He took Jesus out to tempt him. That's what it says. And he was out there for 40 days, 40 nights. And then toward the end of that, at the end of that, Satan came to him and tempted him three times, three different times. And to me, that was, you know, Jesus had that, sure, he was the Son of God. He was God. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. But he had the capability to, he could have. The man, well, let me back up. I'll get myself in a box here. No, I'm not going to say he could have sinned. But he was a man. The 100% man, I think, was just like we are. And you can read those temptations, how Satan came to him, you know, about turning the bread to stone, the stones to bread. Well, let's get it right. The stones to bread, you know, all these different things. We look at it and say, well, of course God passed the test. Jesus passed the test because he was the Son of God. But I'm not. You're not. So if I was tempted with that, I don't know if I could handle it or not. But Jesus did. But look, I just want us to look at it quickly, because sure, we can say, well, Jesus was God, so of course he wasn't going to sin. But you know what? It says he was tempted in every point, just like you and I are, okay? He was tempted. So I'm going to read that. I'm going to read in Luke 4. I'm going to turn back to Luke 4 and just quickly go over that. Jesus could have. He could have. And I think those temptations for him were real. I think they were really real. Just because he was the Son of God, I don't think makes any difference. The old devil doesn't care. He goes after, you know, if he went after Jesus, what's he going to do to you and I? He's coming after us too. He has, okay, and he will. Okay, he says, and when they were ended, let's see, the 40 days, tempted of the devil in the wilderness, afterward, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up, okay, let's stop there. Okay, he was hungry. He was fasting for 40 days already. I'd be hungry too. I'd be hungry after 2 days. You know, when you go to the doctor, some of these procedures you have done, I'm sure Alan knows about that. You know, there's certain things, if you're going to have a procedure tomorrow morning, you got to quit eating today sometime. No more food, okay? I know all about that. The last year and a half, I had too many of those times. You don't eat. Hey, you know, the worst thing about, well, anyway, I told Sally already, I said, the worst thing about this stuff, about the hospital and the surgery, the worst thing for me is I can't eat. I love to eat, okay? Jesus was hungry. I'm sure he wanted to eat. And he could have turned those bread, he could have turned those stones into bread, but he didn't, did he? He could have. The devil tempted him. Jesus could have taken a shortcut. He didn't know, did he? He was faithful, but I'm sure he was hungry. Okay? Now, the next time, it says Satan took him up to a high mountain, showed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me and to whomsoever I will give it. Do you understand how much power the devil has? I guess I never saw that till I read that. I said, oh, okay. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. And then again, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus passed these tests, all three of them. He passed them. But you know what? He was Jesus. He was God. He was the God-man. He could have taken a shortcut. If anybody could have, he could have. But you know what I think he was thinking? I don't know what he was thinking. But you know, he knew. He saw the cross way up ahead. He saw the cross. And he was faithful. Thank God he was. If not, where would I be or you be? He was faithful. He didn't take a shortcut. But I'm thinking as I looked at this, I said, well, these temptations, sure, he was the God-man. He was the Son of God. But these temptations to him, I think, were real. Just as real as the temptations that you face and that I face. I think they were just as real. He was just as tempted. But he didn't do it. And I love what it says. Does it say it here? And when the devil had ended, in verse 13 there, he says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned. Okay. It doesn't say it here. No. Well, Matthew does then. Where it says that the angels came and ministered to him. Okay? What do you think? Of course, encourage him, but do you think they brought him, they defeat him? I don't know. Said they ministered unto him. Whatever that means. Okay. Look, he could have taken a shortcut. He could have turned that stone into bread and ate right there. He could have. He was hungry enough. I'm sure he could have. And he would have. I mean, could have. Yeah. But he didn't. He waited. He waited on God. He waited for the perfect time. And then the Father sent angels and ministered to him. And whatever he needed, I believe they gave it to him. He waited. He waited for that perfect time. I love that. You know, of all the things that we can think of all these examples, and the Bible's full of them, of people who didn't wait on God, that took the shortcut. Maybe they thought that, I haven't heard from God in so long, but I don't guess he is anymore, so I'm going to run my life the way I want it. I'm going to do it my way. I tell you, friend, and we have so many examples of where people did that. These characters in Scripture did it. They took their own way. Abraham did it. He was a godly man. He was a man known for his faith. He's in chapter 11, Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. He's in there. Of course he is. But he really messed up. He caused himself a lot of trouble, didn't he? You know, because he didn't wait on God. Wow. You know, and I really think, to me, that's... And then Jesus, the same way. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus was faithful, okay? He obeyed. He waited for God's timing. Just like I need to wait. And you can't go wrong. You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong by waiting on God. Even if it's... Like Abraham, even if you're 99 years old before you have a child, eventually God comes through. Man, that's where I need to. I'm talking to myself. I hope you got something that was that inspired you or that encouraged you. But, you know, this stuff I've just been talking about is right where, it's right where I live. And I have taken shortcuts. It doesn't work. Wait on God. Wait on God. You can see it. You can see it in young people everywhere. Where, you know what God's design for marriage is. God's design for sex and all that. You know all that. It's in the Bible. We know all that. But guess what? People take shortcuts. And then it's such a high cost. Sin is such a high cost. And sometimes people never recover because of it. Anyway, let's stand. Let's pray. I'm done. It's time to go. Time to eat. Let's pray. And then if you have a song, whatever, okay? Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy to us. Father, you're so good. Lord, you're good. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you for your word, for all the examples that you give us, that to guide, that examples that we have to follow and to go by. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your spirit. Lead us, Father. Give us the direction and help us to run this race, Lord, with endurance, with perseverance, with patience, to wait on your perfect time. Bless these people. Bless all of us as we go from here for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.